This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Imagine being at home on video chat with your child, giving instructions on how to do an oil change. Now imagine you're 911, taking a call from parents who just witnessed their child be crushed over video chat. They are hundreds of miles away. And while on the call, the father mentions their child not moving. The mother's cries stick with you. This is what it's like within the trenches. In this episode, you will hear stories from the IM911 movement, a movement I started to fight the reclassification of dispatchers from clerical to protective and bring awareness to the types of calls that 911 dispatchers answer on a daily basis. This is a live audience episode, and we are recording live at the 2019 IPSTA conference in Illinois. Now, you heard the warning at the beginning, but I must warn you again and add that if you suffer from PTSD or have suicidal tendencies, you are listening at your own risk. The stories you're about to hear are all true and come from the dispatchers who live them. While some stories have a good outcome, the majority are horrifying. This is our reality. Your worst day is our everyday. So let's start with a bang. I want you to imagine each story. Become the dispatcher who has taken each call, and imagine listening.
You told me your name, where you were, and that you had a gun and what you were going to do. You said goodbye and disconnected. I so regret that I couldn't get you help fast enough.
You called me on the phone and asked what you should do. You just got home, and your husband has shot his face off. You wanted me to stay on the phone with you until help arrived. I still remember you asking why. Why didn't he tell you he loved you?
Thank you.
You called me saying your daughter was choking on medicine, only to find out that you had beaten her and she was dying because of your fault. We couldn't help her quick enough.
You called me telling me that your best friend had shot himself in the chest. It was my first cardiac arrest call. I ended up marrying one of the people that found you. It was the worst call I've ever taken in my career.
A call of shots fired. I respond by sending the police. The police get to the scene. They give a plate. It was my aunt, shot in the head.
Thank you for sharing.
You called in my own boyfriend, unconscious in a car on I-57 while he was on duty as an officer. And you probably saved his life because we couldn't find him for probably half an hour because we had no idea where he was.
You called 911 for your son who you thought fell out of the top bunk of your bed. And come to find out, his own brother shot him from inside your house and we couldn't get help there fast enough.
I sat on the phone with your best friend, listening to you scream as you burn alive in your house. We spent 5 minutes trying to get you out, but didn't think you found the door. After the fire was out, there you were, right by the door. It was Easter Sunday. I think of you every Easter, wishing you could have walked out alive.
5 minutes before getting off duty, I received a 911 call from a subject who advised that he was going to be in the backyard and that he didn't want his kids to find him, and then proceeded to shoot himself in the head.
I received a 911 call from somebody who said there was going to be a massacre in the town that I lived in. He would not give his location. His cell phone pinged about a block from my house. And police got on scene in the area where there was a party. And then they indicated shots fired. And they were right in front of my house with my husband and my infant child inside. They shot the subject, who had a shotgun and was shooting at police. He did not die. He was arrested. They found bullet holes in my house. Nobody was injured inside my house. But when I came home after shift that day, my house was taped up with police. I couldn't even pull into my own driveway. And the person who was arrested was in the jail in the same building where I worked at for the next 2 years.
I took the call when you found your aunt had shot herself in the head. She was still breathing when Life Flight got her. She didn't make it later. But I can still hear your screams.
I could hear your screams as soon as I answered the call. You were 16 years old, out on the lake with your family, when you watched an intoxicated boater decapitate your baby brother as he swam in the water. I will never forget the sound of your voice that day.
You called 911 saying you were sitting in the garage with a gun up to your head. I dispatched officers, the first officer arriving on the scene about 15 minutes later. You ended up staying on the line with me for probably 25 to 30 minutes until your house was surrounded and you had negotiators on the scene. You ended up putting the gun down and saving your life. Thank you, and you may be a stronger dispatcher.
You found our cousin. Shot and killed. You were so cavalier and nonchalant. Why did you wait to call? Our cousin would still be here. You know, it might not seem like it, but it's good to share these stories. I see a lot of you emotional, and that's a good thing. You know, what we're doing in here is we're getting a form of closure and healing as we're sharing these stories, again, with people who come from the same place that you do, because we understand. And again, one of the biggest things is so that you know that you're not alone. We're here together.
You were just 14, and your brother called it in. You were shot in front of your mom's house, and I could still hear your last breath and your brother's screams after you died.
The story that I read about, you know, how Easter reminds this person of that call. I think we all probably have something similar in the way that certain calls and certain things that happen to us, they trigger that, or maybe sometimes feel connected to that person. For myself, I had taken a suicidal call, and there was a girl who... She was just fed up with life. She was dealing with a lot of pain in her back, and she just couldn't do anything more, and she just wanted to end her life. And a trainer of mine, I remember watching him take calls like this, and he would start asking all types of questions. You know, what are some of the things that they were into, and would talk to them until someone got there. So for myself, I had been dealing with a lot of back issues as well, and I started doing yoga, which... It really helped out. So I told her about this, and I kept telling her about all these different things, these benefits that I was having from doing yoga, and that maybe she'd be able to do the same thing. And help got out there. And she said, thank you. She said that she didn't want to kill herself anymore, that she wanted to try what I had talked to her about. Every time I do yoga now, I think of that person. We're connected somehow.
You called having chest pain. I assured you help was on the way. We were talking. I was giving you pre-arrival instructions, and you fell to the ground and stopped responding. I sent the police. They get there. They announce that you're DOA. Every day I wonder if my voice was soothing enough to you during your last moment.
You called 911 telling me that you had just stabbed your lover I listened to him take his last breath and kept you on the phone for a confession.
You were one of us. You called 911 for your baby girl choking. All we could hear was you screaming in the background. Sadly to say, you lost your baby girl a day before mine turned 6.
Thank you. You called 911 because you were having a miscarriage. We talked you through the delivery of your lost baby. There was nothing we could do. It was exactly 6 years after my son was born still. I am 911.
You called 911. You're a 10-year-old boy. You found your grandmother in a chair. You were unable to administer CPR due to not being able to remove her from the chair. Your grandpa had just left. There was nothing else you could do except for sit there and watch her take her last breath. When emergency services got on scene, she was DOA.
I answered your call after being shot multiple times by your husband because of credit card charges. I can hear you say, please help.
It took what felt like hours to get your location. Between a language barrier and your gut-wrenching sobs and screams, I struggled. Finally, piecing things together with what I was able to get from you and other calls in the room, I learned you had awoken to find your brother standing over your husband with a bloody knife plunged inside of him. I quickly go into action because I'm afraid for you, your children still in there, and my officer's safety. You lost your husband that morning, and I will never forget the sobs I heard from you.
I was your relief from the previous shift. My next call was from you. You screamed my name and begged for my help. I helped you through CPR after you found your sister had harmed herself, but it was too late.
You were an 18-year-old high school senior who came home from school to find your mom had overdosed and left a note, DNR. I sent the paramedics and I sent the officers. Your mother was not DOA. The entire night I thought about you and your mom, and the next day you were in the PD wanting to meet me. I met with you and I told you that you were the one who saved your mom's life. And every day that I think, and I come into work to train new people and to start another grueling 16-hour shift, I remember the way you talk to people and the way you run your calls matter.
You were 7 days old when your mom called. You were screaming and bloody. She said the dog hurt you. She lied. Your father can never hurt you again. You're in a better place.
I got a text from a family friend saying that my brother called them and said he had been shot and then hung up. I was working the radio where he lived. I sent officers there. They found a bullet hole in the garage, and no one was answering them. You finally answered my phone call and said you were okay. That was the scariest 30 minutes of my life.
It was the night before Thanksgiving, and Mom went shopping for Thanksgiving dinner, and when she came home, she found that her 4-year-old had found her boyfriend's gun under the couch cushion and shot her 2-year-old son with it. And we could not get an ambulance there in time to save him.
Thank you.
We had a 12-year-old call, and his mom's boyfriend had left the gun out as well. And the child was 5, playing with it, and shot his 2-year-old brother. The brother is still alive and paralyzed from the neck down.
I tried to talk you through CPR as you screamed at your husband to wake up. Responders arrived and transported him to the ER. I later learned he didn't make it. I cried myself to sleep that night, hearing her pain in my head.
You called 911 because you couldn't breathe. They were right down the street. It took them 10 minutes to get to you. I thought you were going to die on the phone with me. As far as I know, you made it. The nurse called the next day asking for your belongings so you could get your ID. I know they're not supposed to tell us what happened, but the nurse gave me a little bit of closure that day.
I'll never forget your voice when you said your daughter was dead. You gave me the address, and I realized who it was. My partner's sister. I cried with you, even though you didn't hear it.
It was an hour before New Year's Eve, and I got the call, and you said my car was in a ditch. When my officers got there, they found a woman with her body in the back, half twisted. You were drunk, you walked away, and she wasn't, and she died. I'll always remember her name every year, New Year, for New Year's.
I know your dad, and I'll never forget your mom's screams. At 3 months old, she found you. She was so hysterical, I couldn't get her to answer any questions. She wasn't calm enough for me to give CPR instructions. And as sad as it is, I did get some relief later, finding out that you had been dead for over 6 hours. There was nothing I could do.
Thank you. You called 911 after entering your girlfriend's room, thinking you had hit her with the door and knocked her out. By the time you were transferred to me, you realized that she was dead, and you were hysterical. I sent you help, but it was too late for her. We caught her murderer, but I will never forget your screams. I am 911.
I took the accident call, and what you didn't know was the victim had just brought me dinner and told me he loved me for the last time.
December 10th, 2012, it was around 8:30 p.m. when I took a 911 call advising of a loud crash-like sound. About 10 minutes later, Rockford React Dispatch called to see if we had heard from their flight crew. They were turning around due to bad weather, although the answer was no. In that instant, my partner and I knew the crash-like sound was the chopper. 60 to 90 minutes later, the chopper was found in a rural area. My deputy gave me the tail numbers from the chopper. I called React and relayed the flight numbers. The pilot and two nurses died on impact. The pilot was due to retire the next week. I am 911.
You called, screaming hysterically that your son was dead, that you had killed him. I asked you how you could kill your son. Did he sneak in the house and you accidentally shot him? How else would one kill their son? Was what was running through my head. You screamed at me that your son was 8, and I found out that you had stabbed him over 60 times with a butter knife while you took him stargazing that night. You called because a teenager was drowning at the lake. I dispatched the call and got the dive team going with the help of my coworker. I was just released 2 weeks before. The dive team recovered the child, and the sergeant on duty announced that he was trying to contact the child's parents. Seconds later, my coworker's phone rang. We both knew. I'm sorry you lost your son. I'm sorry there wasn't more I could do to save him. You told me your name, where you were, and that you had a gun, and what you were going to do. You said goodbye and disconnected. I still regret I couldn't get you help fast enough.
Thank you all for being here and especially for being here for each other as we're sharing these hard stories. Again, it might not seem like it, but we're not only learning from each other, but in a way we're healing and gaining some sort of closure by listening to these stories. So thank you again for sharing all of these stories for the I Am 911 movement. Please, a round of applause for everyone who has shared a story. Those are the stories of those who make up the I Am 911 movement in Illinois. I want to thank all of you for attending the Imagine Listening session, for pouring your hearts out, for being brave enough and having the courage to share your stories. Don't ever feel bad or sorry for sharing those stories. They're important ones. They're ones that need to get out. I am proud of each and every one of you, and it was an honor to be in there with you while you shared those stories. And even if you didn't share a story, it's okay, because you were there for your brothers and sisters of the Thin Gold Line. You were there listening and understanding. We all know what it's like. And those listening to these stories will understand more as well. And above all else, they will not feel alone. So again, thank you so much for attending there. And thank you to everyone at the IPSTA conference for bringing me in. I've done the podcast there a couple of years now, and it has always been good to meet so many different people, as well as see familiar faces. But to have people come up and say hello and share a story, whether it be on the podcast or just in person there for a moment, I appreciate it all for the support, everything. This wouldn't be what it is without you and the job that you do every single day. So thank you. And I will continue to share your stories and get them out there so that people know what it's like for you on the other side of the phone, that you're not just a drone picking up the phone and sending people out. You're there with them the entire time, and it sticks with you. Listening to these stories, it is obvious. And it's good, though, that we share these stories, because now that they're out, we can manage it from there. I'm excited to come back. And this was episode 299. And on December 31st, 2019, an epic episode 300, which will be the open mic portion of this session, of this live audience session, that will drop. And again, thank you so much. I never in the beginning thought that I would get to this point at hitting 300 episodes, as well as well over a million downloads, and that the podcast would be heard globally. All of this started as a school project in college back in 2010, and it has been amazing. So thank you all so much once again for everything. If you have any comments, questions, or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Facebook. Actually, you can follow us on Twitter first. That is at 911 Podcast. You can like us on Facebook, and that's facebook.com/WithinTheTrenchesPodcast. This episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.